You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. I'm your host, Mark King, for this show. Another great episode for you guys today. We kick off our shows about the schedule for the Grizzlies, breaking down every single game throughout the entire season. So this is part one of the show. We're doing October, November today, since October only has two games. So we're doing October, November today. We'll take it in a month by month basis. So October, November today, we'll continue with that throughout the rest of the week. We'll do these shows literally every single game, breaking down just the good, the bad about each game. I'm gonna project wins and losses. I know that's not something probably we all want to hear, because as you'll see, the wins and losses will stack up fairly quickly. The losses will stack up fairly quickly. The wins will remain to be seen, and there'll be few and far between. And I think that's just something everybody should brace themselves for. Everybody should understand that about this team this year. There's not a whole lot of capable NBA players on this team as it stands, and it's not going to get any better. But this year should be about Ja Morant. This year should be about Jaren Jackson Jr., some of the young guys, and just finding out what you have in some of these guys. Josh Jackson, for example, going out there and playing them and just seeing what happens. And so this year should be about just having fun. There's going to be a lot of losses, but hopefully in those losses you'll see some fun highlights from those young guys. So just remember that as we go through the schedule for the team, it's going to stack up. It's going to start to sound redundant when I say it's going to be another loss. So just remember that it's really not about the losses and the wins for the Grizzlies this year. It's really about development for the young guys. It's about how they play. And so just remember that as we go through the entire season. Don't get down, because all the losses are going to stack up, but they're just going to put them in a good position next year in the draft to maybe snag another good quality young player. And then after that, you can really start to project what the Grizzlies team can be years on out from next year, after next year going forward. So remember that as we go forward. Real quick before we start, though, I know yesterday news came out that the Lakers wanted to talk to Dwight Howard, and immediately saw this conversation come from everybody. We'll give you Dwight Howard, but you got to pay for him. I mean, I really don't want to get into start this conversation again, but we will if we have to, because Dwight Howard is, I've seen a lot of people on social media from other media members saying that Dwight Howard's worth the first round pick, and that's just not true. You're not going to get a first round pick for Dwight Howard and Andre Iguodala. It's just not going to happen. Dwight Howard's not worth anything. To be fair, if the Lakers really, really wanted to, they could just go out and sign Joakim Noah, which is, to be fair, probably a better signing than having him on the roster than maybe Dwight Howard at this point. Dwight Howard's kind of a shell of himself. So they're looking for a replacement for DeMarcus Cousins. Obviously, he tore his ACL earlier this week. So, Dwight Howard, you're not going to get anything from the Lakers and Dwight Howard. I mean, you're just not. I mean, it's a formality that he's going to be released. It's a formality that he will move on from the Grizzlies, just like he's always expected to be. If you want to ask for something from the Lakers, maybe you ask for some cash. I don't know, but Dwight Howard's not worth a first round pick. You're not going to get a first round pick. It's never going to happen to get any type of pick, no matter how bad the pick is, from the Lakers. And to be quite fair, the Lakers don't have a whole lot of picks to give. As you remember, they gave up a ton for Anthony Davis. So I don't want to spend too much time on that. I just want to make that very clear that you're not going to get a first-round pick for Dwight Howard. He will be waived, and then he will be signed if that's the case. Or if, like I said, if you want to play hardball and you start asking for stuff from the Lakers, they'll just go sign Joakim Noah. I mean, he's probably on that same level as a replacement center as Dwight Howard. So they're not going to try to trade you a first-round pick for Dwight Howard and Andre Iguodala. It's not going to happen. And they don't even have the cap space to go out and take in Andre Iguodala's money. They'd have to come off some different type of money coming out. And just, I don't see it at all from the Lakers' perspective. They don't have the cap space to trade for those two players, and especially Andre Iguodala's $17 million, and they don't have the picks to give away to you. So Again, I understand you want to maximize your assets as a fan base, but this is one of those things where it's probably just worth it just to cut them, let them, and move on. It's not worth the hassle of trying to extract every single drop of value from someone like Dwight Howard. Let's start out with the Grizzlies' schedule. The first game is on the road in October 23rd versus the Miami Heat. This would be interesting game just because the Heat aren't in a great position, but they're obviously – this goes without saying, I think, with a grain of salt on every single team we talk about. Most of them are better than the Grizzlies. I'd say like 90% of the teams are better than the Grizzlies. But they do have Jimmy Butler, James Johnson, as obviously a previous Grizzly, Goran Dragic. I think they'll probably win this pretty easily from the Grizzlies. It will be interesting to see who they have guard Jimmy Butler. The Grizzlies don't have a really good wing that's a kind of a shutdown defender. Probably Dylan Brooks is probably your best bet there. Maybe Kyle Anderson as well to try to take on some of the wings that can guard Jimmy Butler, slow him down. Goran Dragic versus Ja Morant will be interesting to see. I think Goran Dragic is a good player, but he's not just lights out gonna show up and just kill Ja Morant. So it'll be interesting first matchup for the young rookie point guard, what he can do with Ja Morant. I think this is a game where Jaren Jackson can probably have some success. They don't have a shutdown, really power forward center on the Miami Heat. So this will be interesting to see what Jaren Jackson's going to able to do. Myers Leonard probably guarding him most of the time. They got Myers Leonard, Kelly Olynyk as probably their big two guys, I guess, if you will. So that'll be interesting to see. Maybe James Johnson slides to the four spot and plays and defends Jaren a little bit better because he can move a little bit better than those two other guys can. He can move out to the perimeter with Jaren. So that's probably what you'll see with that team. Again, probably a loss for the Grizzlies, but they come back and immediately have a home game. This is the first home game of the season, October 25th. This will be your first time to see Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr. together. It's against the Bulls, but not a huge flashy matchup. The Bulls are not somebody that not a team that's on the rise, but I still do think it's probably a loss. And this might be more of a toss-up game than it looks on paper, but Ja Morant versus Bulls rookie Coby White will be interesting to see what they're able to do with that matchup as well. You go after that, game three will be versus the Nets. This would be a good game because the Nets are a much better team than people obviously probably think they are. People probably remember the Nets as just a downtrodden team, and that's not the case anymore. They're a pretty good team. Obviously, no KD because he will be hurt for the year, but you have Kyrie Irving versus Ja Morant. You have a rookie point guard going up against one of the best ball handlers in the league. Kyrie Irving's handles are absolutely amazing. And so this will be a huge wake-up call for Ja Morant. This will be a welcome-to-the-league moment immediately in his third game of the year versus Kyrie Irving. So his defense will be tested right away for Kyrie Irving. And he's probably going to get torched. I mean, let's just be honest. He's probably going to get torched. But it will be interesting to see what he's able to do versus Kyrie Irving. Probably nothing, because Kyrie Irving's really, really good at basketball. But nonetheless, it will be a huge wake-up call for him. The Nets are a good team. This is the only time the Nets come to town. So if you're looking to see Kyrie Irving, game three of the schedule on the home schedule, for the Grizzlies, that's your best bet to see Kyrie Irving all year long because this will be the only time that he's here. Game four, they go on the road for the Lakers. This is, again, the Lakers is not the best iteration of the Lakers that we've seen before, but it's still LeBron James. It's still Anthony Davis. They're going to be very, very hard to guard. Obviously, it's the best players in the world. Anthony Davis will be versus Jaren Jackson will be fun to see. It's a marquee matchup. I think I've always long said that I like Jaren versus Anthony Davis because I think it's a similar comp. I see a lot of what Jaren does and Anthony Davis and vice versa. So, like, I think that's a good matchup. I think they're very similar players. So I'll be looking to look for that matchup. Jaren versus Anthony Davis will be fun. Even as dysfunctional as the Lakers are, it's still a very, very tough road trip for the Grizzlies. They play on Sunday at home. Then they play on LA. They played in LA on Tuesday. So it's a Sunday at home game versus the Nets. And then they literally go to get on the plane Sunday night, fly cross country in LA, wake up super late after the time change, all that, walk through and then play again on Tuesday. So it's a quick turnaround. turnaround for the Grizzlies to be able to play that game or for that game as well. Again, that's probably a loss for the Grizzlies playing against the Lakers, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis. They come back home. I think they come back home and they play on Saturday that next from Tuesday. So they have a little bit of time from the LA trip to come back home and get used to kind of getting acclimated to the schedule. Again, this is huge for a lot of these guys, a lot of the rookies like Ja Morant, Brandon Clark. They don't have this type of schedule in college. They're not flying cross country and then back. So Jaren's a little bit used to it because he's been through it for a year. So that'll be interesting to see as the young guys, they're going to hit a wall, you know, usually in the early December, if they've played, you know, 20 games, they hit a wall, the travel takes a toll on those guys. So look for that as well. Game five at Phoenix at home. It'll be Jaren Jackson Jr. versus DeAndre Ayton. That'll be an interesting matchup to see. DeAndre Ayton's a much stronger, much more physical player than Ja Morant. So will Jonas end up spending most of the time on DeAndre? Probably so. That's probably what you'll look for in those guys. Ricky Rubio versus Ja Morant, also a very good matchup. Again, Ja Morant has another point guard he has to deal with, you know, in three of the first six games, he's got really, really good point guards he's got to deal with. Ricky Rubio is a very, very crafty point guard. He's not like lights out shooter. He's not someone's going to just kill you on the offensive end, but he's very crafty. He understands the game. He's a very high IQ basketball player, understands what he's supposed to do, understands how to take advantage of players and how to take advantage of their weaknesses. And so something that will be, again, Ja Morant going into someone that has to will be a veteran point guard that can take advantage of him on the defensive end. So probably another defensive nightmare for Ja Morant, probably another very difficult game for him. Again, that's more than likely a loss. I know Phoenix has been bad in the past. They're still bad, but I just don't see the Grizzlies getting over the hump and even beating the Phoenix Suns. Game six for the Grizzlies is at home, back-to-back home, home game. After the Suns, the Rockets, James Harden, Russell Westbrook coming to town. There's not a lot to say about that. Ja Morant versus Russell Westbrook. Again, you get done with Ricky Rubio, you get done with Kyrie Irving, and now you have to take on Russell Westbrook, who is just a different player all on his own. I mean, even if the Grizzlies wanted to swap Ja Morant out and try to hide him on a different player, well, guess what? The different player you hide him on is James Harden. So, a lot of times the Grizzlies might be able to get away with putting Ja Morant on the shooting guard, maybe moving Dylan Brooks over to the point guard and on defensive situations, maybe even Kyle Anderson. So, what you were able to do in those situations won't work against the Houston Rockets because you move off of Russell Westbrook and you have to go to James Harden. So, against two very, very talented guards, that's definitely a loss. It's probably going to be a blowout, but something that Ja Morant, again, they're going to have to go to these stretches. They're going to have to play all these players. They're going to have to get used to it, but something that will be difficult for him to do in his first few games as a Grizzly. Game seven versus the Timberwolves, that's at home. Probably a loss as well. Timberwolves are a pretty good team. Karl-Anthony Towns versus Ja Morant or Jaren Jackson. That'll be interesting to see two of the young. Karl-Anthony Towns is not young anymore. Still relatively young as far as age wise, but not as far as NBA wise. Been in the league for a while. Still a very good matchup. Be fun matchup to watch. Again, the theme with this is probably going to be losses, but probably going to be fun to watch. You'll see too. Taylor Jenkins and Ryan Saunders, two of the youngest coaches in the league, will be going at it for the Timberwolves versus Grizzlies there at the home matchup, seventh game of the season. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back. We will get back with it in the game eight against the Orlando Magic. If you haven't already subscribed to your Locked On Fantasy Football on the Locked On Network, make sure you go and do so. Players, make sure you go and listen to Vinny Iyer, Locked On Fantasy Football. Vinny gives you the edge with over 20 years covering fantasy football. Don't listen to the same stuff as everyone else. Then you are exactly the same as them. Get the edge from Vinny. They'll put you ahead on draft day, put you ahead all season long. It's where I get my fantasy football advice. It's where you should get your fantasy football advice. Make sure you go to Locked On Fantasy Football on your favorite podcast provider and subscribe today. Welcome back to the show. We're going through the schedule here for the Grizzlies. We are on game number eight of the season in the November month. Of game eight for the Grizzlies will be away game against the Orlando Magic. I think this game is actually a toss-up. The Magic don't have a lot there. They have the Grizzlies are going to have to defend Aaron Gordon, most likely, probably, maybe Jaren Jackson defends Aaron Gordon. There's a chance. I don't know. Again, I think this is a toss-up. There's a chance the Grizzlies can pull this one out. And that goes the same without any of these games that you go through. There's always a chance you can find teams just off and get a surprise win. But, Vucevic is going to be a guy that plays really well against Jonas Valanciunas. So, maybe there's a chance that our bigs are better than their bigs. I don't know. It's going to be Nikola Vucevic's Aaron Gordon versus Jonas and Jaren Jackson Jr. Maybe Markelle Fultz plays. I don't know at this point. There's really no telling with him. But they have players like Evan Fournier, Terrence Ross, who at any moment can just go off. And so that's really what it's going to be about. It's probably to contain those guys who can really just, can be terribly hard defensive assignments at any time during any game. And so, is it a toss-up? I think so. But at the same time, I think it's most likely a loss. But I think it's something maybe the Grizzlies can come away with. I wouldn't put any money into it, but it's something that might be able to happen. After that away game, the Grizzlies come back to home and play the Dallas Mavericks. This will be our first look at Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis together. They did not play together last year because Kristaps was hurt. That'll be a fun matchup to see. Two of my favorite players in the NBA, Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis. I love Kristaps' game. I love Luka's game. That'll be a fun one to watch no matter what. Kristaps versus Jaren Jackson Jr. Luka, maybe he's playing point guard. I doubt you put Ja Morant on him. You probably guard him with one of your wings. Again, Kyle Anderson, something like that. But DeLon Wright comes back to town. He obviously walked away during the offseason to go to the Dallas Mavericks. He comes back to town to play against the Grizzlies. Probably not as possibly as a starting point guard, so probably there's no Tyus versus DeLon Wright there. Do we get the ultimate, DeLon Wright versus Tyus Jones, who is really better matchup playing against each other? I don't think we get that. You probably get DeLon Wright versus Ja Morant because DeLon Wright's probably their starting point guard this year. So, maybe we'll see some DeLon Wright versus Tyus Jones. That would be fun, but I doubt it. Both teams are on a back-to-back, so maybe you can still win. I think this is a loss, but maybe you can still win here. I doubt it, though. I probably schedule this one as a loss as well. Game 9 for the Grizzlies against the Spurs. This is an away game. I know the Spurs are probably a little bit more down than they have been in the years past for the Spurs, I guess as the Spurs are concerned. But they still have Greg Popovich. They still have really good, talented veterans in DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge. So while they might be down in terms of the entire NBA, in terms of what the Spurs are used to, they're still better than the Grizzlies. Still going to be a loss. Not a whole lot to say about that one. Game 10. This is an away game again. They have away games against the Spurs, away game against the Hornets. I think this is the first projected win. I could say I think this is the first win of the year. As bad as the Grizzlies are, I think the Hornets are worse. As bad as you think, we might think the Grizzlies roster is. If you start looking at the roster the Grizzlies have and counting up the actual NBA role players that would be role players on other really talented teams, there's not a whole lot there. You start doing that with the Hornets, there's maybe less than the Grizzlies. So I think this is a win for the Grizzlies. I don't see a whole lot of people on the players on the Hornets that really contest the Grizzlies. They're just as bad. Excuse me, they're probably worse than the Grizzlies as far as roster construction at the moment. And not that the Grizzlies have a bad roster. It's just they have a lot of young guys, have a lot of unknowns out there that they're going to try to figure out this year. But this, if you're counting, we're 11 games into the season, and this is the first time that I think the Grizzlies will probably get a win. So just prepare yourself. Again, we go back to what I said earlier in the show. Just prepare yourself for that. For the fact that it could be a long time before the Grizzlies get a win in this season starting off. Could be 11, 12, maybe even 13 games. Because if they don't win this game here against the Hornets, the next stretch of games is absolutely murderous. I mean, it is absolutely, absolutely awful for the Grizzlies. It is one of the hardest stretches probably in the schedule, probably all year. And so if they don't get a win here, if they don't get a win against the Magic, they're not getting one. They might not get one all of November if they don't get one in the earliest parts of the month. If they don't get one against against the Hornets, if they're not able to steal one again, maybe against the Mavs or the Suns or the Magic, if you don't get it there before game 11 against the Hornets, the next stretch will be tough. And so you got to get it early if you want to get one for the entire month of November. So, I mean, there's a possibility you could look at it, look up, and you have no wins in the entire month of November just because this stretch, the next stretch we're about to talk about, is so, so difficult for the Grizzlies. We're going to talk about that next stretch, what makes it so difficult, who they played coming up right after the break. Make sure you go subscribe also to Locked On NFL. NFL is kicking back up. It's a full swing of preseason games. So go there and subscribe to Locked On NFL. It's on fire. NFL scout Matt Williamson, former NFL scout Matt Williamson, hosted by Brian Peacock. Locked On NFL is your daily national podcast for all things NFL. Go subscribe to Locked On NFL on your favorite podcast provider. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to the show. Again, this is the hardest stretch of what the Grizzlies are going to have probably all year. It starts after the Hornets coming back home to play the Utah Jazz. This is the first game for Mike Conley to be back in the FedEx Forum. It's going to be very, very cool to see the past of the franchise versus the future of the franchise, Mike Conley versus Ja Morant. That all those things will happen. We'll get probably a video tribute to Mike Conley and all the things he has done for the Grizzlies. It'll be a very emotional game for probably a lot of people, probably for him as well. But we don't have, the Grizzlies fans don't have to wait that long to see Mike Conley back in the FedEx Forum. Again, 12th game of the year. It's going to be a nationally televised game on ESPN. It's only the one of two nationally televised games. This is a must-be-at game. If you're a Grizzlies fan, this is a game that you have to be at. It's going to be a loss, but that's okay. The Grizzlies are going to have to deal with Rudy Gobert as a challenge for whomever guards him. Probably Jonas, but you never know what happens. That can maybe rotate some guys out. Probably Jonas, though, that's most likely. But Donovan Mitchell, Mike Conley, two extremely talented guards. What you're going to do trying to guard those guys with Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks? I mean, it's just difficult. They're a good team. The Jazz are a very good team, especially with the addition of Mike Conley. It makes them an even better team. And so it's going to be weird for sure seeing Mike Conley out there dropping threes on the Grizzlies and being that guy now that you really hate to see come to town because he's very good at basketball. And so it'll be very emotional for a lot of people. It'll be very strange for a lot of people out there seeing Mike Conley probably drop threes on Ja Morant and doing all the things he does, that little hesitation dribble, the floater, all the things that we've all come to love about Mike Conley. He'll be back on the 12th game of the season against the Grizzlies with the Jazz. Right after that, you play. Again, it's a long home stretch, too. You have, one, two, three, four home games in a row. And then you go on the road and you have two more home games. So six out of the seven last games in November are home games, which is fantastic. But they're against very, very good Western Conference teams, and it'll just be very difficult to really get any traction at all. So we talked about Ja Morant versus other point guards. Ja Morant comes against Mike Conley. Again, that whole Ja Morant versus really, really good point guards still continues for a murderous stretch in the stretch of November, the backside of November. After the Jazz, they play the Nuggets. Probably a loss. Inserting some notes here. We might see Michael Porter Jr. play. I guess it's probably not. Hasn't played all year. Maybe Malik Beasley be in the house, who we've talked about before on this show. That's the guy that is a restricted free agent we've talked about before, who could be a potential target for the Grizzlies next year to go out and give him a large offer sheet that the Nuggets may not be able to match. So look for Malik Beasley. Look and see what you can maybe see the future of the Grizzlies there in the Nuggets coming to town. Nikola Jokic versus Jaren Jackson Jr. or Jonas Valanciunas. Probably Jonas Valanciunas, but that will be up in the air and will still be a very good matchup. Also a loss. The Nuggets are a very good team. After that, the next home game against the Warriors. Again, scheduled loss here. It's the first home game for the Warriors, though. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. Brandon Clark might get more run here, maybe. If Draymond Green's one of the bigs, they play that that matchup, that lineup where Draymond Green's like the four, the five. So maybe see Brandon Clark. This is a situation where Brandon Clark becomes more valuable to you here as you're able to go with a smaller lineup that can move better, that can run down up and down the court. So maybe Brandon Clark gets more run here as the Warriors come to town. But, you know, that's That's always up to Brandon Clark. It depends on what he's done in the first, you know, 13 games of the season. This is the 14th game of the season for here. So it depends on what he's done for the first 13. So if you want to sell your tickets, prime time to sell those tickets, though. It's going to be a loss, probably a blowout. So if you want to get some recoup some money on those season ticket money, this is a prime matchup to do that with Steph Curry and all those Lakers fans out there in Memphis coming to the FedEx Forum. After that, the Grizzlies get the Lakers in town. They've already played the Lakers once in this month in LA. They get Lakers in town for this month, game 15 of the season. This is also one of those chances to sell those tickets. LeBron James, Anthony Davis at home. Going to be fun to see. So if you want to see LeBron James and Anthony Davis, this will be one of your only shots to do that. So go downtown, have a good time, see some of the best players in the world in the Forum. You know, that's what it's going to be about, because the Grizzlies are going to lose this game. But hopefully it'll be fun to watch. And so, you know, get down and see LeBron James and Anthony Davis. If not, sell those tickets. Recoup some of that season ticket money. That's okay, too. I do that all the time. So do what you got to do. Either one of those options are fantastic. After the Lakers home game, they go on the road to the Pacers. The Pacers are a sneaky good team this year. They're one of my favorite teams. Just what the quality of roster they put together. I really like what they've done. They're a very sneaky good team. Victor Oladipo, Malcolm Brogdon versus Ja Morant. I think Malcolm Brogdon's a very quality point guard, but I think Ja Morant might have the edge, might be able to do some things on Malcolm Brogdon that he may not have been able to do in some of the other point guard matchups. So that'll be a very interesting matchup to see. Again, Malcolm Brogdon's a very good point, very good player. Already been in the league a few years. But I think it's something that it's a good matchup for Ja Morant. It's not somebody who's just super elite like Russell Westbrook, where you just know it's going to be very difficult all game long. I think it's something that you can definitely use as a measuring stick of how Ja Morant's come so far in this season versus other point guards he's played. Miles Turner, again, Justin Holliday's on this team last year from the Grizzlies, on this team for the Pacers. So it's a sneaky good team. It's a loss for the Grizzlies. The Pacers are probably better than most people give them credit for, but I think the Pacers are a good team. It'd be a fun game to watch. After that, the Grizzlies come back home to face the Clippers. This will be the first time that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are going to be able to come to the Forum this year. Unfortunately, Paul George probably most likely won't play. He just reported he'll miss the first 6 weeks of the season, so I would be surprised. I'd be shocked if Paul George plays. To be fair, there's a good chance that Kawhi Leonard might not play. These Clippers are going to be in a second night of a back-to-back against a terrible Grizzlies team. So this is a chance for them to probably get that load management that they did last year at the Raptors did last year with Kawhi Leonard, sending him out in different games. So there's a good chance that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, neither one of them will play. Hopefully Kawhi Leonard plays. That'll be fun to see. I'd love to see him play in person. So hopefully he does do that. Again, the Clippers are the favorite to win the championship this year. They're a very good basketball team. Pat Beverley guarding Ja Morant. If he thought it was tough on all those other point guards, well, Pat Beverley is probably one of the best defending point guards in the league. So he will probably get nothing done in this game. Pat Beverley will probably eat his lunch, or however the kids say it. But it will be difficult for Ja Morant to get anything done against Pat Beverley. Still be a fun game to watch. Most likely a loss. Even if Kawhi Leonard and Paul George don't play, it's a loss. And the last game of the November-October games is another home game with the Jazz. So Mike Conley gets to come back just a few weeks later, back to the Forum again. Conley versus Morant, too, will be fun to watch. Will Ja Morant have learned anything about Mike Conley? Again, when you start to play players over and over again in this league, that's when you're able to pick up talents or hidden things that they do, little things on the court that you can remember they do. And so when you start to play players over and over, that's when you start to put those things back in the back of your brain, like, okay, he loves to go left, or he loves to go right. He has a floater. He has this hesitation dribble that I have to look out for. Those are the type of things you start to learn and you start to get as you get time against these other guys. So he probably will have learned much, because it'll just be a few weeks and it'll still be his first month in the NBA, but it will still be interesting to watch. This is Thanksgiving weekend, so it'll be a big game for the Grizzlies and Mike Conley. Again, it's another loss for the Grizzlies, but it will be interesting to see Mike Conley twice In the year. And I think that's probably his only two times in the Forum. So if you want to see Mike Conley back this year, make sure you go to the November games. That will be your only chance to see Mike Conley this year. So go and see him either the 17th game of the season, which is the last game in November. I don't have the dates in front of me. Or it is the, it's the 12th game of the season. That's on the first matchup against the Jazz is on ESPN. If you're counting all those losses and wins, it's 18 games with 16 losses, one win, and one toss-up. That's what I had. Maybe you could probably have a few more toss-ups. Maybe the Mavericks I scheduled as a loss, but maybe that's a toss-up. Maybe take a few more out of those losses and move them to the toss-up column. But for me, again, it's 18 games that we projected. It is 16 losses. It is one win, and it is one toss-up. So that is tough. Tough to see. Again, like I said, if you don't get that win early, if you don't get some wins early in that November month, it's not going to be pretty for the second half, because the second half of the month is absolutely torture. It's terrible. You got, as a recap, you have the Orlando Magic, Dallas Mavs. After that Hornets win, you have the Jazz, Nuggets, Warriors, Lakers, Pacers, Clippers, Jazz. And that's tough. I mean, you don't win any of those games. So the Grizzlies are going to have to go out and look for a win early in the season if they want to get it. If not, they could be staring down the barrel of zero losses in November, which I don't think that will happen. I think they'll get something done in the first part of that month. I think they might get even more than one win. So it'll be interesting to see how they structure those lineups in the first part of the year to really start to try to get some of those wins and try to get on the good side of things before the really tough part of the schedule starts to come up in the second half of November. That's it for today's show. Make sure you guys go subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies so you don't miss a show every single day. Automatic downloads, they'll come to your phone. You won't miss anything at all. So go to your favorite podcast provider, Stitcher, Spotify, Apple iTunes, wherever that is, and make sure you subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies so you don't miss an episode. We'll be on back tomorrow with December games, and we'll project those as well for you guys.